Hi guys, thanks for joining us for episode 76 of the Kitchen Stitches podcast. Today is August 20th, and it's just me and Katie today. Darcy has been on vacation and had to switch weekends with somebody at work, so she will join us sometime soon. I'm thinking probably, I haven't even talked to Katie about this, but the next episode I was thinking we might record on our way back from Into the Wolves.
Thinking about that.
Because I was thinking I would like to do a wrap-up or, you know, recap of it, and that wouldn't be very interesting for, or not, it might be interesting for Darcy, but I would feel bad. So we'll probably do that, and then the next episode, well, hopefully Darcy will be able to join us again. I'm really sleepy, so hopefully my voice won't get too low. I don't know why, I'm just so tired. But yeah. This one, compared to last one, which was a whopping 2 hours long, should be a lot shorter. I think neither Katie nor I have just a ton of knitting to talk about, and I don't think either one of us have been watching or reading that much. So this one may be a shorter one, and y'all can all say hallelujah. Okay, so I know that we've got finished objects, works in progress. Katie has some casting on screen. I guess I have some ruminations on it. Acquisitions, events. I have a little bit, I didn't put it in our show notes, but a little bit of other crafty adventures. Nothing that I've been doing, but something I wanted to chat about. Our summer reading knit along, and then what we've been, in the kitchen, and what we've been reading and watching. So we can start with finished objects, and I'm going to let Katie start.
Real exciting. I made a barley hat.
It's a pretty barley hat.
Well, and I actually didn't have a gray hat, so came out just a smidge big, but it's okay. So I knit a barley hat by Tin Can Knits using Mad Tosh DK in Tern, T-E-R-N, so it's kind of a steely, medium steely gray. So barley hats are always really quick knits, and I needed something for points. So that was my last finished project for Into the Wool, because I'm not getting the other stuff done. Yeah. So,
and that's your one and only.
It's my one and only.
And I only have two, actually. I finished the Hermione's Everyday Socks pattern by Erica Luder. I used Gail's Art watermelon sock plank, which was really cool, and they're kind of gross because I've worn them a couple of times. They're not gross. They just have some pet hair on them. I've worn them, I think, once. So it's turned out really good. It was a fun sock plank. It looks just like watermelon. Although, here's my when knitting attacks moment. I'm not exactly sure how, but one of my feet is about an inch too long, and then one of the legs is about an inch too long.
Same sock.
I'm not exactly. I know that I was knitting on the second sock and realized that I had gone too far, and I ripped back, and I just didn't rip back far enough. And then probably a combination of that is what made the cuff taller. That's okay. They still fit. One's a little bigger than the other, but it fits, and they're going to be under jeans anyway. No one's going to know that they're too long, or one's too long, and they don't match. But
when you haven't washed them yet or anything.
Right.
Yeah. So you may be able to, with wear, though, the other one will stretch out or something.
Yeah. Yeah. But I didn't realize until I put them on. It's like, whoops. So that was one finished object. And then my second one I just finished this morning, barely under the wire for the End of the Wool Spotlight and Along and Stash Dash. I hadn't even started these the last time we recorded. This is the quickest I've ever done a pair of socks. I started them 2 weeks ago and finished them this morning. But I used a Night Owl Fibers self-striping in the Peppermint Swirl colorway, which is kind of a mauve, and I guess it's a sage green.
Yeah.
And then in the middle of those two is a a speckled stripe that's kind of a cream with the two, the mauve and the green in it. And I see these and I don't see peppermint. I'm not quite sure where the name came from. But they're very pretty. They remind me of this, I think it was a cross stitch that I had in my room when I was little. My mom will remember, hopefully, because she made it. That had a little girl sitting and cross stitching. I think this is the one that it reminds me of. I think she was sitting and stitching something, and it had this mauve color and probably the green in it too. So every time I worked on that, I thought about that. And if I'm getting that memory mixed up, it still made me think of my childhood. But I ended up doing them a little bit shorter than I normally do. I am trying to go up to 6 inches. The last pair, the cuff was just a tiny bit tight around my calf, so I was perfectly fine doing shorter ones. And then it worked nicely. It was the end of the second repeat. Oh, I forgot to say which pattern I used. I used Susan B. Anderson's Smooth Operator socks, which is her newest, I don't know if it's her newest pattern. I think it's her newest pattern. Yeah. And it's just a basic vanilla sock with an afterthought heel that's worked just a little bit differently than the traditional afterthought heel patterns. I liked it. I'm not a big fan of working afterthought heels, but in this case, it really did make it fly, especially the second one, because I already knew they're perfectly matchy-matchy. So I knew exactly where to start the toe, and I just didn't have to think at all. And they just flew off the needles. So I really like those. I do recommend the pattern if you do like afterthought heels. I probably will use it again for self-striping because it was very well written. And then spinning, I have 2 skeins that I have finished recently. The first was what I was working on last time, which is Brazen Stitchery, and it's a superwash merino in the Hobbits' colorway. And it's like a dark green to almost a neon green in places, and then basically just a tan, I would say a tonal tan. And I wasn't really sure how I was going to like it knitting it up. I mean, spinning it up. Some of the greens are not my typical greens. I usually like more of a foresty green or something a little earthier. These were just a little bright. But when I plied it, I think it toned down the green a bit. Yeah. It's very masculine. This would make a really nice, I'd say it's probably about a DK. I could probably find a hat pattern that would use that. And it's because of the way I spun it, it's not stripey. So that's probably what that will become. And then the other one was the first shipment in Elemental Fiber Works Visions of Fiber Club that she is doing, which is based on, there's a set of posters from NASA and JPL that are space, obviously space themed, but they're kind of art deco. I don't know how to describe them, but she's taking the poster series and dyeing fiber based on it for the club. And the first one was based off the Grand Tour poster, which has oranges and greens and reds and blues and purples, and it is so pretty. And this was on BFL silk, and again, it's a little thicker than the Brazen Stitchery turned out. This is solidly a DK, and probably even worsted in places, I think. But it's so floofy, and it's shiny from the silk, and it's just so squishy. I wasn't expecting a gradient. It actually, I can undo it so you can see. Katie can see. It's just a really nice gradient. and I spun it just, I just divided it in two and spun it end to end. I mean, you know, the same way for both halves and then plied it together. So it kept the gradient for the most part. One of them, I had a lot more yardage on the bobbin, but you still got the full gradient in there. There's a lot more on there. I'm not sure what I'll do with. I'll probably ply it with something else eventually if I can spare the bobbin, because I'm not sure. I want empty bobbins for into the wool. Well,
for when you come back.
Well, I'm going to take my wheel.
Are you?
Yeah, I'm going to take it. Yeah. But that's it. That's all my finished subjects.
So, whips. So, since I finished the barley, I was trying to, my goal is to get April snow finished before we leave, on the 31st for Tennessee. So that's about, 10 days?
Yeah, about.
So, and I'm in the home stretch. I've got 3 or 4 more sections to go. So I'm working on April Snow by Knitterella, who is Jill Zielinski. It's an asymmetrical shawl. It's garter sections and then drop stitch sections, alternating colors. And so I'm at the bottom, so I've got 30 more rows to go, maybe.
Oh, that's
so
not bad. Yeah.
I've been sewing in the ends as you go because you got color changes. So I've had 40 ends or something to do. Sometimes, you know, because on the white, it's too many to carry. Where the pink, I'll carry it. So I'm using Plucky Knitter's Snug Fingering, which is a 70% merino, 20% cashmere, and 10% alpaca, and it feels like knitting with kittens. It's really soft. In a color called Wanderlust, which is like a dark charcoal gray. And then I'm also using Plucky Knitter Primo Fingering in Pink Champagne on Ice, which is kind of a bright hot pink.
Yeah, hot pink.
And then using Spun Right Round in Snappy Sock in a color called Shock Star. So it's like a white base with fluorescent colors like pink and green and teal and orange. And the pink matches the pink champagne on ice. So I'm using all three of those. And then we're having a knit along for points for Hats for Grammy for the Into the Wool. And I was itching to crochet and,
yeah, I'm thinking the same.
So, I've been working on the Urban Jungle Crochet Beanie by Vicki Howell. I'm using, 3 Irish Girls Springvale Worsted, which is a superwash in a color called Aphrodite. So it's blues and purples. And like dark pink. You definitely need a full skein of yarn. This is one of those you could probably, once you get towards the top, adjust. And it's supposed to be slouchy, so I'm not going to have enough yarn to make. I'm 3/4 of the way there.
Mm-hmm.
So
yeah.
It's not going to be super slouchy. But people have made it with 1 skein of Malabrigo.
Uh-huh.
So
yeah,
I have enough. I should have enough. Although it's, I think the pattern's written for Aaron, so. But it's, I don't really have that much more to go.
Yeah, it'll be fine.
I should have enough to do another round or two
and
close it off.
Yeah, that'll be good.
So that was the Urban Jungle Crochet Beanie, and that's all I got for whips, because I've been pretty monogamous trying to get that shawl done.
I tried very, very hard to finish the harvest before the end of Stash Dash and the Into the Wool Spotlight knit along, and I finally did the math about a week and a half or so ago, and realized that there was absolutely no way that I would have to do, it was something like 13 rows a night or something like that, and there, it just wasn't going to happen. So I put that aside. Where I was on it when I put it down, I actually have completed one sleeve and then am ready to pick up the stitches for the second sleeve. And then I have to, I worked probably about four or five inches down from the bottom of the sleeve on the body before I started working on the sleeves. So I've got, I think I figured I probably had about 10 more inches to go. And then the garter edging, which is about, I think it's about 4 inches of garter. Maybe not, I may have that wrong. But there was no way. So I am at the point now where I want to pick it up again, but I probably won't pick it up again until after we get back from the retreat. It's kind of hot. It's kind of heavy to work on. And I just kind of want to work on some other things for a little while. I did also, let's see, I started The Color Study by Carol Lee Harding, which I very ineptly tried to describe in the last episode. I'm using, and I don't even think I actually talked about what yarns I was using, because I got so bogged down in trying to describe the pattern. But I'm using Daisy Knits Hardy, which is a discontinued base, according to Ravelry. It's a fingering weight. In the Wicked Cool, which seems to be a very popular colorway. I hear about it a lot. It is, let me pull it out. Sorry. It is a variegated with purple and green and of various shades, I guess.
Like Easter egg colors.
Easter egg colors. And then the other color that I'm using is Sweet Georgia Tough Love Sock in the Boysenberry colorway, which is a kind of a grapey purple. And it's tonal. And it matches very well parts of the purple in the Daisy Knits. So this is a paid-for pattern by Carol Lee Harding, I mentioned. It is color work, it's striping, back and forth for one color and then you switch to the other. And not to give away anything, because you can look at the pattern and tell what it does. So one side of it, you do the stock, it's alternating stockinette and garter stitch. And on one side, the stockinette is in one color, and then in the middle part you switch to garter with that same color. So when you look at it, it's kind of like one of those, an illusion scarf.
Yeah.
It looks like they're staggered a little bit, and it's kind of hard to see it, but in a picture you can see it. I'm really enjoying this. I had put it aside when I realized how close I was to finishing the self-striping socks, because I knew I could get those finished, and I wasn't sure I could get these finished. But I'll probably pick that up again this week. Probably will not go with me to the retreat. Trying to handle two colors I think would be a pain. So that leads us into casting on soon. I'll continue with that. Oh. No, I have one more thing. My work's in progress. I just barely started. Like, I think I've done one day on this app, on the wheel. I've put the Three Waters Farm, 100% Polworth, and Sky Behind the Trees, which was a club colorway from sometime this fall. And it is a sky blue with some gray in it. And then it was actually the companion color. Oh, I lied. That was not the color, the club color. The club color for that month was the Light in the Trees. And this was a companion color that you could order separately. And I thought it would go really nicely plied together. So I will, my plan right now is to get, I said I wanted to clear my bobbins before into the wool, but my hope is that I can get both braids spun. It usually takes me a week or so. And then I can ply them at the retreat, because I don't, that's kind of mindless. I suspect what will happen is I will get most of one of them done and then I won't be done spinning the second one, but then I can either finish that or just work on it when I'm there. Casting on soon, what I was going to say, because I don't want to take a too the two-color shawl. I'm trying to decide what to bring. I'll probably... Actually, this is such standard pre-retreat thought processes.
Pre-yarn lady problems.
I don't know if I mentioned in enabling... I know we're going to get into that in a minute, but I don't have this yet, so I couldn't say it anyway, but, or for that section. I ordered from, I cannot remember the name of the dyer on Etsy, some, number two pencil yarn, which is, it is so cool. I actually saw somebody had a finished product into the wool group, but she had used different yarn, I think. But this one, it's an actual kit. Like, the main yarn is yellow, but then it comes with a two heel skeins and two cuff skeins, and the toes are brown and black, so you've got like the lead, and then the body's done with the yellow, and then the cuff is a silver and pink for the eraser. And I think that has shipped, so I think it will probably be here, and I'm hoping to do those for my husband for Christmas, and that would be a good place to start that, or get started on that, and then I can work on those at work, and he will never see them, and hopefully won't even know that I have the yarn, because he's a teacher, and I think that would be a fun gift. He generally doesn't wear, he really loves the knit socks, but they make his feet sweat, so he doesn't wear them a lot, but I think he would appreciate it anyway. So that's one thought. I also have some Neely knits in the very Hungry Caterpillar colorway that might be fun to bring too. So I'll bring a vanilla sock and probably something else. But I was thinking about casting on Susan B. Anderson's Perfect Retreat Shawl before, but then I looked at the pattern. To tell you that I don't know that I really want to make it. It sounded, I think the title got me, and then I looked at the design, and it's pretty, but it's not quite, I don't really want it that bad. So maybe I could do, like, maybe a Yowza or something mindless. Katie, I think, has more things mulling.
Well, I'm in the same boat. I'm trying to decide what to take, because everything I'm either knitting on or want to knit on involves 2 to 4 balls of yarn. So it's like, I think I'm gonna take my Paris Toujours, even though it's a worsted weight shawl. It involves 2 balls that I'm currently alternating, and then 1 to 2 more. I figure I can knit. That's not rocket science to knit on. Plus, it's worsted weight. I was gonna start a sock. But then, yeah, I don't know what else to take along to work on. I have Riley Rose shawl here. I haven't sat down with my coloring pencils yet to start that, figure out my layout. I did swatch and layout yarn for a State Line, which is the latest pattern by Plucky Knitter. She loves big, cozy shawls and scarves, and so it's knit in a heavy worsted or an Aran weight, and so the top section is a ribbed short row section, and then there's a section with like diamonds and relief, and then the bottom's a textured stitch. You can knit it all in one color or 3 colors. I picked 3 colors. A light gray called On the Rocks. Lonesome Highway, which is like a dark charcoal gray. And then Athos, which is a really pretty wine red. And I am not usually a red knitter, but I hadn't used any Primo Aran. And so I was trying to use stuff from Stash. And I didn't really want to do Traveler Aran, which I had just done a big shawl in that, and that can be kind of heavy. So I made a swatch. I soaked the red for like 4 hours. Mm-hmm. Probably should have kept soaking it, but I got some of the extra dye out because it was bleeding pretty good. And then, so I don't know where I'm going to start that because you got to cast on like 200 stitches and then you've got to do all these short rows. So.
Yeah, that would, if you were going to, is that one you would bring or
no? No.
Like, how would that be?
No, but I've got the yarn, like 4 out of the 6 balls wound up and all that.
Okay.
But, plus I'm taking that short row class, so I might learn something to short rows. So that's in the pipeline. I just don't know when I'll do that. And then, I am probably going to take a vanilla sock, the OMG heel socks. I have some Rock and String Creations super sock wound up in the Bleeding Heart colorway. It's a self-striping, pink, red, dark red. It's 3 or 4 colors. So it's really, I was in a red phase one day. So, I've been really thinking about what I'm going to take with me to.
I remembered, I see your yarn sitting over there, no spoilers, but I remember that I bought some mustache in the Rey colorway for in the Star Wars line for Laura, and she had suggested maybe a hat, and we had even chosen one. I don't remember, I'm sure I have it queued, but it was something pretty mindless, I think, so that might be a good thing to cast on, too, to bring. Acquisitions. The only thing I have is the second shipment and the Elemental Fibers Fiber Club that I mentioned. This one is, the colorway was Venus. I think if anybody's listening that ordered it, I got mine early this week, so I suspect you've all gotten it. But it's very peachy. It was really pretty. And I meant to write down what the base was. And the only thing I can remember about it is that it had mohair. And it was very, very soft. I'm really looking forward to spinning it. Because the first one spun up so nicely. But that'll be a while. That's all other than the pencil yarn that I haven't actually gotten yet.
Yeah, I've seen 2 or 3 of those on Amazon, Instagram.
Mm-hmm. That's where I saw somebody had posted it and went and looked.
So for acquisitions, I got Mustache is still doing the Star Wars yarn. And so she had an order, placed an order a couple weeks ago. So I bought the next 2, which is the Master's line. So I got Obi-Wan and Yoda. So Obi-Wan these are self-striping, various, I think, lengths of stripes. They're not even stripes. So it's like an icy blue, a cream, dark cream, tan, there's some brown,
it's kind of like a berry.
A berry, maroon. So kind of like the robes that Obi-Wan wears. Mm-hmm. Yoda I'm not as much in love with, but I'm like, well, I gotta get them all.
It reminds me a little bit of the Hobbits, except it has some, what is it, kind of like a brown, a darker brown or reddish brown kind of in it.
So the other one is Yoda, which is, so think of kind of a swamp. So there's a cream, a tan, kind of like a lime green, fluorescent green, some gray, that's probably in the speckly part. Like I said, I wasn't as excited about this one, but you know, you gotta have the complete set. And then she's gonna have 3 more coming up.
Oh, really?
I think Han Solo, Luke, or Leia. I don't know if she had Luke yet or not.
I thought she did. I don't remember.
She's having 3, and the next set is going to be 3. So, that's coming out soon. So, and I'm sad she's not going to any shows this year.
Yeah, I know.
But that's all that I got, not counting the usual plucky stuff that comes through.
Obvious so events. Oh, well, okay, no. What did I say? Other crafty adventures. Like I said, haven't done anything extra, but today my daughter, so, well, little update. I think I mentioned before that my daughter was transferring to University of Houston. So she's going to be living at home this year, which is great. But today she desperately wanted some glitter. And so we went with a friend of ours who was here for the night or for the evening yesterday and morning today. We stopped at Joanne and bought just a big thing of glitter because she wanted to make slime. So, like, there's a recipe that uses white glue and water and borax, and you make slime, and she wanted it to be glittery. So we did that, but it was what was so... such a mom. But it was so exciting to me because she hasn't ever... she's never been super, super crafty, but we were in the store, and she's like, "Mom, why don't you ever bring me to the craft store?" I was like, yes! I was like, because you would never go with me to the craft store. But she was talking about she wanted a paint by number set, but we actually couldn't find one in Joanne, which was kind of weird. So we'll probably go to Michael's. You think this Michael's child was 12. Michael's or Hobby Lobby, I think. Yeah. But you would think that she was back in, like, elementary school, but that's okay. It's fun. But she was looking at that, and I was looking at, like, all kinds of stuff. There's so many little things that I want to do. We were talking about making maybe soap or some other kind, you know, like body scrub and things like that. And I'm really excited about the fact that she is showing an interest in doing some things. She learned to knit. My mom taught her to knit several years ago, but she didn't really have much of an interest in it. And I don't, you know, if she ever wants to do that, she knows where the yarn is.
Where to find it.
Yeah. So, but to have her wanting to actually do some crafty things was, I don't know, made me feel good. I'm trying to think if there was anything else. Oh, I ended up buying, while I was there, I guess this counts as acquisitions a little bit. I bought the newest Molly Makes magazine after hearing, I think it was Dana, was talking about it on Just One More Row fairly recently. I'm a little behind in my podcast, so I don't know how recently this was. But it was, probably would have looked at it a little bit more, and I actually haven't had a chance to really look at it because that was just probably about 2 hours ago. But I was looking at it, and it was shrink wrap, so I'm kind of grabbing it. But it had an embroidery kit in it that looked cute, and they called me up right then, so I just grabbed it. And Laura's like, "Are you buying that?" I'm like, "Yes, I guess I am." So I have that to look through. I'm feeling the urge to dabble in a lot of other things. National Parks, Frosted Pumpkin Citrus, that club, the first installment of that comes out on Friday? No, Thursday, I think. But I may start it, maybe not. I'm not sure yet. I do have the kit, but that's it. So on to events. Obviously, Katie and I are going to Into the Wool in about 10 days. We're leaving here August 31st and driving to Little Rock and then the rest of the way to Crossville, Tennessee. And we'll be there, let's see, Thursday, Friday, Saturday.
Leaving
three
Sunday.
Nights? Yeah. Yeah. And leaving Sunday and coming back. And the plan is to stop in Little Rock again. Originally, we were going to try to go farther, but then I remembered that we won't even leave the retreat until probably 12. And it's about a seven and a half hour drive to Little Rock. So figured that was plenty for the day. So that is coming up. And then we have decided to go to Stitches. So last time I think we were leaning that way and we decided for sure. What sealed the deal for me is that my husband does some astronomy workshops in Austin periodically through the fall. In the spring semesters, and the first one that was chosen, the date that was chosen for the first one was September 24th, which is the day we talked about going. So I told him that he should go, and then I would go to Dallas, so there was no guilt on my part of leaving him behind after having been gone, you know, over Labor Day weekend. So we did that. There is a potential that we could add Friday night onto it. I'm not sure yet. It depends. I have some work stuff that could actually garner me some comp time, but I'm not 100% sure right now how that will pan out. But, or if there will still be a room available for Friday night when we try to. I can't imagine that it's gonna sell out. It's not the conference hotel. So, that's the plan. So we will be there. We'll definitely, at the latest, I would say we'll be there, you know, by noon on Saturday and all afternoon. And then I guess it depends on how much we get done. Maybe Sunday morning it depends.
Depends on the vendors.
Yeah. Yeah. But definitely we'll be there. And if you are going, we would love to see you and meet up. Let's see. Summer reading, knit along. I will say what I said last time, the full details are in the Ravelry group. We have had some participation. There's still, we are actually running this through September, so there's still plenty of time to enter if you want to. All, you just have to be a member of the group. WIPs count. So all of you that are finishing up stuff for Stash Dash, you could throw it in our Cal too. It's
or the PAL Cal or the anything PAL, like
yeah.
that.
Yeah,
around any, your neck, any right. of those.
Any of the multiple knit alongs that are going on right now, you can absolutely double, triple, quadruple dip. We have some categories set up based on yardage, just choose the one that fits your project, and we're not going to police it. I mean, if just choose one of all, you know, don't choose the same category and enter the same, or choose two categories and enter the same project in it. But as far as yardage, it's not like we're going to go track you down and weigh your project or anything like that. So we're loosey-goosey on it. I mentioned last time Cookbook Club is kind of a bust, but the thread is still open if you want to post anything in there. If anybody does decide to post, then I'll pull a prize for it. If not, then we tried it, and we can maybe try it again. Prizes, the only two we have right now, but this will change soon. I have a skein of handspun by me. That is the one I'm going to put in, was Brazen Citrus Cadbury Eggs for Breakfast, which is kind of Easter colors. And I think it was Merino Bamboo. And then I picked up a DPN holder from Diana Couture at the Houston Fiber Fest. And we're going to look for things to pick up at Into the Wool also, and now Stitches. So,
well, but Stitches will be after the end.
We're through September. It'll be...
Thought we were doing the middle of September.
Did we ever to say?
I mean, we can always get something
at Stitches. I have September 30th on the notes.
Oh, okay.
So
I thought we were doing like the 15th or something.
I don't know.
Obviously, we're flexible.
Yeah. I guess it will depend on...
If the thread's open, post.
Yeah.
Sorry. I thought for some reason it was the 15th in my mind.
I think we maybe had mentioned that at one point. What I have written down here is the 30th, but...
Okay.
So, I don't know that it matters.
Yeah.
In the kitchen, I haven't, like I said last time, it's summertime, I haven't wanted to cook a whole lot, but what I did want to talk about is we tried a new, recipe box, what do you call a meal box, meal delivery service. This past week, I was sucked in by a Facebook ad for Martha and Marley Spoon, which is, Marley Spoon has all, I'd never heard of it, but it has been in existence for a little while at least. And it's not just in the United States. I saw some from Australia, some from the UK. And I guess for the US, Martha Stewart has added her name to it.
Okay.
And I was intrigued, and I had a coupon for $30 off the first week delivery, so I decided to try it. And we have, were actually really pleased. It's, without the coupon, it's probably, I think it's about $10 more than Blue Apron. It looks to be, the meal seems similar. I mean, they're all, I think they're all really, really similar. This one, what I did notice was both of the meals we cooked did not take as long as the Blue Apron ones do, which is hugely important for me because that's, as much as I liked the meals we were creating with Blue Apron, it was getting to be too much. There was just too much prep involved. It would often take me an hour and a half or so to cook it. And after work, that's just, it, I got where at the beginning I would get it on Tuesday and we would do one Tuesday and Wednesday nights. And it got where I was putting it off more and more and we were doing it on the weekends instead, which is fine. But then sometimes we'd have plans and we were like, the produce wasn't always great when we got to it. So I was, we were actually considering canceling it. And then we tried this one, and so we got two meals. The first was baked meatballs. I'm sure there's a longer name for this. And then one was crispy Parmesan chicken. And the meatballs, it was, it came with a meatball mix, or meatloaf mix, which was beef, pork, and veal, which I don't generally do veal. I ate it. I found that out after. I was like, I'm not sure about that. But I think it was seasoned a little bit. It kind of had an oniony taste, which I don't mind the taste of onion. I just don't like the texture. I couldn't detect any, but there, when I was cooking it, I could kind of smell. I could smell. It may have just been onion powder or something. And then Manchego cheese and tomatoes. And just basically you make meatballs like you would normally with breadcrumbs. It came with panko and an egg and the cheese and the meat. And fry them and then bake them. And then, or fry them, put the tomatoes, which is very basic, plain diced tomatoes out of a can. And then bake them and then add cheese on them right out of the oven. And came with ciabatta bread and then arugula salad, which I will eat arugula. I don't have a problem with it. Jimmy and Eli both complained about it being bitter. So, yeah, they'll eat it. But what that wasn't, that part wasn't great. It was, this meal was good enough that last night we had company come to visit and we were trying to decide what to eat and Jimmy said, make the meatballs again. So we actually made it with our, you know, went to the store and got the ingredients. And I think it actually turned out better last night. But that was a hit. And then the other one was crispy Parmesan chicken, which was, it's very basic. You do a, it's like thyme and butter and garlic and then you melt that and then dip the chicken in it. And then put a mixture of, I think it was panko and Parmesan cheese, just kind of pile it on the chicken and bake it. And then it came with us a very basic salad. And it was okay. It was a little dry. I had forgotten to move, for the previous meal, I'd had to move the rack in the oven down. And I forgot to move it back. So I think it was too close to the element. So it was a little dry. But the taste was good, and I would do that one again, too. So that's my review. What I think we're going to do, you can skip either one of them without having to pay for it. So I think for a while we're going to kind of juggle the two and see. You know, we're going to give it a few more attempts and see which ones we like. If it ends up taking as much time as the other one, we'll probably just ditch the services. But I really like the variety that we are getting with them. I'm going to let Katie talk about what she's reading and watching.
Last night I finished reading My Lady Jane, which is a book by three authors, Cynthia Hand, Jody Meadows, and Brody Ashton. I think they're all YA authors. I know I've read a book by Jody Meadows. And then, you know, in the back, on the Kindle, it'll pop up all the other people. Mm-hmm. And they look like YA covers. So I admit that all I knew when I was reading this book was that it was about Lady Jane Grey. Mm-hmm. You know, the girl who was queen for 9 days and then beheaded. So I'm like, oh, you know, it's just a historical retelling or whatever. So I check it out, start reading it, and they're like, well, this is a fantasy retelling in a twist of history. like, okay. So I started reading, and I read the first, like, 4 or 5 pages, and I'm like, oh, this sounds really weird, hokey. I'm going to stop reading this. But I didn't. There's, like, magic in it. They're, like, shapeshifters. So, Lady Jane Grey is apparently the cousin of King Edward, mm-hmm. who has the sisters Bloody Mary and the one that becomes Elizabeth.
Yeah.
And he's being poisoned, or, well, he's dying when you find out he's being poisoned. And anyway, so some of these characters are also shapeshifters. So they can turn into animals. So part of the story is that Lady Jane Grey is getting married off to Gifford Dudley, who is Lord Dudley, who was like the right-hand mm-hmm. man of King Edward, and later maybe Elizabeth, or at least on Rainey is Elizabeth. And they don't tell Jane that he's a horse. he's a horse during daylight hours, but not at night. So she only has a husband half the time. So it sounded really hokey, but I started reading it, and it was really good. If you like fantasy and like history kind of messed up, so it's kind of like historical fiction meets The Princess Bride in Monty Python put together. So, but I finished that last night. I enjoyed it. And Lady Jane lives. She doesn't die. So she gets a happy ending. before that, I had finished The Duke and the Lady in Red, which is a historical romance. It's by Lorraine Heath, which is the number 3 book in The Scandalous Gentleman of St. James. Let's see. So it's the story of Rosalind, or Rose, who you find out is kind of a thief, swindler, grifter, kind of. So it's her and these, you find out she has a brother and these people who escape from like a circus. This is a historical romance though. Mm-hmm. And so she is trying to swindle money out of people, and so she goes in a fancy dress to a gambling establishment and catches the eye of a duke, and of course, you know, he chases her down and falls in love with her, and he comes to find out that her brother is terminally ill. He has some sort of like tumors that are basically mm-hmm. smothering him, and mm-hmm. he's gonna die shortly. So the duke takes her in and his brother, and basically gives her brother, you know, a really good last week or two of his life with experiences and comfort and stuff like that. But then he finds out that she's, you know, what her true story is that she's a swindler and all that. It was good. I think, what did I give it? 4 stars? Yeah, I gave it 4 stars. I like Lorraine Heath. And then, so Lady Jane and the Duke and the Lady in Red. And then the other book I just started last night after I finished Lady Jane was Beauty of Darkness, which is number 3 in the Remnant Chronicles by Mary Pearson. It's been, what, like almost a year since I read the book before that, so I'm a little rusty on all what mm-hmm. happened. So I'm only, you know, 10 or 15 pages in, so I don't have an opinion yet. So, and that's kind of considered YA. It is YA. I don't know that it's necessarily fantasy, but maybe slightly fantasy. I don't know. Goodreads has it as fantasy, but I don't know that I consider it fantasy. But that's all. I haven't read that much in the last couple weeks.
I've been reading slowly.
Well, yeah, and The Lady Jane Grey book was like 500 pages. Oh, so, and yeah. This book that I just talked about is like 700 pages. I don't know why YA books are getting so big.
They really are.
It's like Winter was like 800 pages. The latest book by Libba Bray was like 800 pages. I mean, they were good books, but it's like 800 pages.
Yeah.
Really? Why?
Now, all of Libba Bray's, or most of hers, have been pretty long. I haven't read anything of hers in a long time. So I finished The Mercy of Thin Air by Ronlan Domingue, which I was reading the last time we podcast. It is, I don't even say it's general fiction. I mean, I guess maybe a little fantasy because it is a ghost. But as I think if you listened to the last one, it's set in New Orleans, mostly in modern day New Orleans, or at least modern day when it was like 2005, I think, was when it came out. But it also has flashbacks to the 20s. So the main character is basically a ghost. She's living in between death and whatever comes after. And she's taken up residence in the home of a couple, Amy and Scott, I think their names were. And it turns out that completely coincidentally, her life in the 20s is wrapped up in their life. There's a lot of parallels between her, like, the romance that she had with the man she was going to marry and the couple in modern time. There's a lot of parallels between them, but then there also, it turns out, in a twist, that they are, like, connected to people that this woman knew. And, like, her very good friends when she was, there's more than that, but I don't want to give the twist away. But, it was really, really good. I mean, it sounds kind of hokey, it's from the main character as a ghost, but it's, it was done really well, and it was just one of those, it made me cry a couple of times on the bus, which is, I mean.
That's why I can't read all this.
Yeah, I was a little, well, I mean, I wasn't, like, bawling, but, mm-hmm. Yeah, it was, like, one of those a couple of times, which is, like, I have to take a deep breath, but I really enjoyed that. And then I just finished The Adoration of Jenna Fox, which is also by Mary Pearson, coincidentally. And it's apparently the first in a series. I didn't know that. I've had this on my reading list for, probably 9 years. I mean, my to-be-read list is ridiculously long. And a lot of the things that are on it were, I was book blogging for a while, back before I was in my current job. And, I remember that one got added before, and that was 8 years ago. So it's been on there for a long time. It is YA science fiction. It was really, really good also. The main character, Jenna, was in an accident and was woken up, and she doesn't remember anything at all about who she was. And you kind of find out what's going on. It's a very slow pace. Like, you find out along with her. You're not the omniscient reader. You don't know exactly what happened. You kind of start to figure things out. But like I said, it's science fiction. And, I would recommend that one for sure. Fairly dystopian, but not like Hunger Games or any, it was good. And then I am currently reading Ravensbrück, Life and Death in Hitler's Concentration Camp for Women by Sarah Helm, which is, you can imagine, it is nonfiction about Ravensbrück, which was directly north of Berlin, I think, probably about an hour north of Berlin, and it was a concentration camp for women, and it wasn't just Jewish women, it was basically anybody that they considered undesirable for whatever reason. Mm-hmm. Either, you know, they could have been political opponents or whatever, or they, you know, prostitutes, and there were, I think they said it was a small percentage, but there were Jewish women in there. I'm not very far in. I'm less than 10% on the Kindle, and this one is a long one. I was on the waiting list on Overdrive for this one since June, and it came up, and I'm looking at it, and I know for sure there's no way that I'll finish it in the 2 weeks that I have the book. So I'll read as much as I can now, and then I'll pick up something else until my hold comes around again, because this isn't one I'm going to buy, and I don't want to read. It's like 700 pages, and there's no way I'm going to, I want to read it on my iPad for sure. After, once that one goes, once my checkout expires for that one, I probably will pick up The After Party by Anton de Sclafani, I think is the name. It is at the library that we work for, is doing a Goodreads book club, and that's the book that they chose. Mm-hmm. And it's, right now, there's a library, like a newsletter that's called Library Reads, which is based on what librarians across the country are reading. So these are super popular current titles. Mm. So getting your hands on a copy is a problem. So I am on the waiting list at my library for the print copy, my library for Overdrive, and a neighboring library system for Overdrive. And if I haven't gotten the hold by the time it comes up, I'll probably just buy it on Kindle. But that book is set in Houston in the 1950s, and I'm interested. Mm. It's set in River Oaks. It sounds good.
I wonder if maybe she should talk to Mary Ann about...
I think they've had some conversations with Chris, who
about getting extra copies or e-copies, or I don't know how that would work with Overdrive.
Yeah. I mean, it seems like... They're probably, what more likely will end up happening is they'll have to revise which books they choose. But this is the first, the first go round, and I think they've gotten some pretty good participation for the first, for having just put the call out for people to join. And I think they're going to have to tweak it a little bit to see what works.
Enough copies or whatever.
But I'm looking forward to reading along with that. And as far as what I've been watching, it's been all Olympics all the time for the past 2 weeks. And that's been very exciting. I mean, I've thoroughly enjoyed it. The gymnastics team reminds me very much of the 1996 women's gymnastics team. And I remember how exciting that year was. I was very pregnant at that time. But and it's also really cool because these girls are all basically the same age as my daughter. And because I was pregnant with my daughter, I was thinking, I was like, Simone Biles, her mom would have been just barely pregnant with her at the time of the 1996 Olympics. And I don't know. It's been fun. Have you been watching anything?
Well, the Olympics.
Yeah.
I hit the wall, though, about Sunday or Monday. Kind of once swimming was over.
Yeah.
Well, and that annoyed me with gymnastics was they waited till the end of the night, mm-hmm. until 10 o'clock to do the gymnastics.
Yeah, there were.
I mean, I understand that they probably couldn't show it live. But they did all the swimming because the swimming was live and then lumped all the gymnastics at the end. And it's like, so they only showed the Americans or like the top eight, and that was kind of...
And I kept getting spoilers on Facebook, and that was really annoying.
Well, yeah, that was kind of annoying, too. I did get to catch a little bit of rowing. The DVR had a lot of room, so I could record, like, 4 hours at a time and fast forward. But I only got a little bit of rowing. Beach volleyball was good. I liked the beach volleyball. But mm-hmm. I've kind of hit the wall.
Yeah, I think... For us, yeah, I think once gymnastics was over for me, it was kind of like, eh. But we were enjoying watching diving last night, the men's diving. What's his name? Tom Bradley?
It's like a it's a common name too.
Yeah, I can't remember his name, but the guy from the UK, he is so good. He was just amazing. Okay, we have hit an hour, which is longer than I thought it would be, but not so bad. Like I mentioned, Katie and I will probably record. I was thinking probably on the way back, like Little Rock, the night that we come back.
So if you're up for it, yeah.
Yeah. And I'll get that out as soon as possible. And then we'll talk to you again sometime in September. Hope everybody has a good few weeks, and we'll talk to you soon.
Bye.
Bye.